It's Tuesday, September 2nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a primary of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you tonight. Stand by. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Yes, it's a end of a nice Labor Day weekend, and boy, I tell you, I was sitting around talking with my wife this evening. I said, it's Monday. I have to do a show. And she said, you better get busy. So, wow, where did the three-day weekend go? It really went quick. But got a lot of stuff to catch you guys up on basically what's been happening. Of course, the last time I came at you, I was in Texas, and actually was in Dallas, and I flew out very, very early out of Dallas, heading back towards Hawaii on Friday. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes, because I had a fun time in Denver during my four-hour layover. And that'll be worth just a few minutes of conversation. But hey, for all of you that are new to the show, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. And of course, get over to geeknewscentral.com. You can check out all the great archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. Of course, sign up for our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And you can find that newsletter sign up in the third column of the website. And basically what that does is that gets you everything that I'm going to cover tonight, including any listener links that have been submitted, and lots of cool information so you can follow along as you're listening to the show. But wow, lots of stuff happening. Anyway, just to get back kind of where we were at on the Dallas bit, I got up at like, I don't know, 3:15, something ridiculous. I actually could have slept in another hour, because the United Terminal, the United Counter there at DFW did not open until 4:45. And of course, I was there at 4 like a knucklehead and stood around waiting for them to open up. And that finally happened, and got checked in. And so I flew into Denver. So I get in there very, very early. Of course, the DNC had just wrapped up the night before, and everyone was trying to get out of Dodge. And, you know, I went to the red carpet lounge, and about the time I got in there, they were starting to Twitter and a lot of, you know, discussions about who McCain's VP pick was. And I went over to her Wikipedia entry, and I noticed that she had actually her site, her Wikipedia entry had been updated like, I don't know, 30 or 40 times in the last 24 hours. And that was a big, big surprise. Well, anyway, so I was basically Twittering back saying, hey, yeah, Wikipedia has been entered a lot, updated a lot, and really made me kind of suspect maybe she was the pick. And it was about an hour later, I had a four-hour layover in Denver, that sure enough, the announcement was made that who McCain's pick was. Now, grant you, I'm sitting in, again, the red carpet lounge. It's full of people from the DNC, and they are like losing their minds. It was an amazing thing to watch, because there was groups of people that were basically saying, oh, it's not a great pick, and then there was the other pick saying, oh my goodness, and then there was women that were there that were like, it was this whole smorgasbord of ideas and discussion, and I'm just sitting kind of watching. And some guy that was sitting beside me, he says, so you've been out here at the convention? I said, oh, no, I'm just passing through. And he says, what do you think of McCain's pick? And I said, oh, it's a great pick. And this guy lost his mind. He really, really did. So it was pretty hilarious to watch. And anyway, it was kind of funny, and but yeah, he lost his mind, and I just basically had to bail because he started lecturing me, and that's the last thing I wanted to know if there was, last thing I wanted was being lectured by people. So I got back to Honolulu. Really, it was great to get be back, and the wife had a bunch of honeydew things for me to do, but we really kicked back on Saturday. And just relaxed around here. Then had a bunch of stuff we ran around and did on Sunday. Had some friends over today. Just was really a kickback weekend. But I did want to share something with you that happened here at the house. It was really amazing. I was, as you guys know, I've got a koi pond here. And I was cleaning it this morning. And I turned around and there was like, I'm not kidding you, a swarm of honeybees. I have no idea where they came from. You very rarely see a honeybee, but they were headed right my way. And I was like scrambling, trying to get into the house and not get stung. But my wife was freaking out. She'd never seen it before. And they passed really, really fast. But I was worried. My kids were out in the yard, and I thought they were going to get stung, and it didn't happen. But anyway, it was just amazing. I've never seen that happen here in Honolulu. I've never seen a swarm of bees here, and I've seen it back in the lower 48. But it was pretty shocking, and we actually had a lady that was over at the house, and she was freaking out. But I actually called one of my buddies here. Have you ever seen bees swarm in Hawaii? And the guy's like, no. So it was a first for me here. My son got back this afternoon. He'd actually been over in Maui with the Honolulu Boys Choir. They had some performances over there, so caught up with him on what was going on. Hey, just do want to give you guys a quick update on my father-in-law. He is doing pretty good. He's going through radiation therapy right now. They did not have to do any chemo, so they're really going after his original reason he was in the hospital was for throat cancer. So we don't know if we've gotten a full story, the straight story on what's going on with his liver or not, but that's kind of what's going on there. The OLPC laptops are sitting right here on the floor. I've got them boxed up. I've got shipping addresses on them. They will be going in the shipping tomorrow. So finally, those will be going out. And also, we're going to be starting getting the T-shirts issued as well. Hey, one thing I wanted to kind of give an update on also is I had made an announcement on the last couple of shows that we'd gotten a bunch of inventory, a bunch of podcast advertising inventory over at Raw Voice. And I want to welcome the folks from Farpoint Media. We're going to be working with their family of podcasters. We've got, about a dozen of their shows up on the buy now. And we'd actually talked with them when we were out at the New Media Expo. So if any of those folks are listening, I want to welcome you guys to basically to the kind of the family. And we'll be looking forward to working with you. Let's see if I'm going to have anything else in my just regular list here. I've got a lot of tech stuff to get into tonight. So all of you that are hanging out for that, we'll be getting into that. So let me see here. Let me look down through the list. Oh, PodCamp Hawaii had a meeting on Saturday for about an hour and a half with Roxanne Darling. Now, if you guys haven't seen Rox's show, she does a show called Beach Walks with Rox. Wow, great show. And she's a wonderful lady. She really is. But met up with about close to a dozen people on planning for PodCamp Hawaii. And boy, oh boy, we got a lot of money to raise, and I'm really looking for some outreach. If any of you have connections with any of the companies out there in the Web 2.0 or new media space, or even in the WordPress space, because we're going to be doing a PodCamp/WordCamp at the during the event, we have to raise about another $11,000 in really a short amount of time. So really looking for some sponsors. If anyone out there can point us to the right people, really would appreciate it. I'm going to be hitting it real hard tomorrow, reaching out to everyone that's on my Rolodex to try to, really get this thing going so we get the sponsorship money and so the event is not in jeopardy. So, but anyway, looking forward, we'll pull it off. We'll make it happen. But if any of you have any contacts out there, it would definitely be appreciated. All right, let's take care of a little business here before we get into the tech news of the evening. And, get reliable, secure web hosting without long-term contracts. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever. With 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitments. Best of all, plans start at $3.99 a month. Now, here's the best deal on those hosting plans. Shared hosting accounts, virtual dedicated accounts, dedicated servers. When you go over there and do a one-year shared hosting account and use the promo code Todd20, that'll get you 20% off on that one-year contract. Now, if you don't do a one-year contract, you can always use one of my other codes, Todd. They'll give you 10% off. Geek5 will get you 15% on orders of $20 or more. Of course, domain names over there start at $6.95, and all the codes Todd20, Geek5, ComSale, Aloha, Geek, all work over there. So definitely get over to GoDaddy.com. Of course, it is a new month here. And boy, where did August go? It just flew. It really did. And I want to thank all of the sponsors here for the continued support. Really, they would without them, we would not be able to do what we do. And this show would, they've been terrific. They really, really have. And I definitely appreciate it. Now, GoToMeeting. Hey, GoToMeeting, the easiest online meeting service, GoToMeeting, just got easier. If you haven't tried GoToMeeting, now's the time, because the new version of GoToMeeting has fully integrated voice over IP. With this new total audio feature, you have more options by being able to conference through a phone or the web. Save time, save money, and be more efficient. Hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Now, if you don't remember that domain name or that hyperlink, just go to GeekNewsCentral.com, click on the podcast link, and you'll see the link right there on the website, or actually one of the banners. Click through, that'll get you there as well. Okay, lots of tech stuff. I was actually kind of worried, being that it was Labor Day, but I do have some cool stuff to talk about. The wires have been ablaze with some stuff Google's got going on. We'll talk about that a little bit. Matter of fact, it'll be a big day, big news day for Google tomorrow. But I wanted to revisit a story that we have not talked about in a while. And actually, it's reared its head again. Now, do you guys remember here that there was a gentleman here in Hawaii that was worried about the Large Hadron Collider that is scheduled to be switched on in 9 days. He was worried about the, really, essentially, them creating a mini black holes that would not really dissipate. They would continue to grow, and then at some point down the road, they would essentially devour the Earth. Well, over at dailymail.co.uk, apparently some UK scientists are now worried about this, and scientists are worried. They're in court to try to halt it, and they want to have the group around this sit down and come up with some safety, you know, some safety discussions. They're really worried. you know, everything I've read and heard so far is everyone has said that this is going to be safe. And while they will be essentially creating mini black holes, they feel that they're going to be very, very short-lived. But yet, these other scientists, are saying, no, this could turn into something bad. Well, you know, let's be honest. If something bad happens, we're really not going to know, are we? We won't. It'll happen so quick. Now, of course, the scientists say, oh, this will take time and they'll grow and whatever. Anyway, but 9 days from now, they're getting ready to switch this baby on and start some experiments. And if you haven't seen some of the very cool pictures of this, this basically particle smasher, you definitely want to check this article out that I have linked up at dailymail.co.uk. So I have that linked up in the show notes, of course. All of the articles I talk about again tonight are in the show notes and are covered in the newsletter. If you have comments or commentary that you'd like to share with us, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You know, one thing I've been watching is there's been a lot of especially, you know, developers out there, especially those that are running Linux machines, who want to run some of the higher-end graphics card, have been building their own drivers. And a lot of the companies have been resistant and actually forcing some of these drivers offline because, you know, they basically they don't feel that they should be out there, that the drivers are proprietary and should be only released by the, essentially, what's the company officially releases. Well, VIA has, as far as I know, for the first time, released an open-source Xorg driver Now, this XOR driver is for the integrated graphics chips on for Linux machines. So this is pretty cool. Those of you that are running Linux boxes, if you've got VIA graphics card and you're looking now to, you know, basically do more development on the drivers, they've actually got an open source one. So maybe I'm missing it. Maybe there's more of these that are open source, but maybe VIA's kind of, you know, figured out what's going on now. It's too bad some of the other graphics companies haven't figured this out. I know some of them have been very aggressive in actually having third-party developers taken down. Now, being that I fly a lot, you know, I'm getting a lot of experience in good service and bad service and things that are going on. But, you know, a lot of you that fly Southwest, and the reason I want to link this up here is because we talk about airlines from time to time on this show, but I have never, ever received an apology letter from any airline that I have flown where I have actually been late or had a flight canceled or be rerouted, never had a voucher offered to me. But apparently, a gentleman that flew Southwest recently, they had taken off and there was a problem with the aircraft. And they turned the airplane around and landed and had a couple hour delay and got him back on another aircraft and got him to their destination. Well, the folks at Southwest sent them a letter with a very very sincere apology. Along with it, they gave the passenger a voucher for $175. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I wish I would get a voucher every time my flight was delayed or I got canceled or something. Very, very refreshing. And Southwest continues to do good things. Now, I'm sure there's probably people that have horror stories, but you know, it's kind of a breath of fresh air considering where we've been over the past 6 months or so with some of the experiences, at least, that I've had. All right, Microsoft is readying an app store for Windows Mobile. And I don't know if we touched on this on a previous show or not. I don't remember talking about this. Maybe it was something that was correlated. But it appears that Microsoft is going to be launching an application store called Sky Market this fall for Windows Mobile. And really, it's, you know, they have to, because you look at what the folks at iTunes have been able to do. It's time. It really, really is. Now, Android, they're going to, and maybe that's who we talked about. Android's going to have their own app store as well. So, you know, maybe it's going to be, maybe we're getting to the point here where we're going to start seeing penetration of more mobile applications that are built by, you know, people like you and I, for mobile devices, instead of having these self-controlling applications that the providers, actually the cable or mobile providers, put on the phones. So I'm kind of curious, just kind of get a little bit of a read from the audience. How many of you are on Blackberries? I should ask this in a survey question. So maybe I'll do that for another show. But what are you guys' preference? Are you an iPhone user? Are you guys a BlackBerry user? Do you have Windows Mobile? If you want to just share some of your comments, maybe I'll pick one from each of you. And especially those of you that have converted, maybe from a BlackBerry to an iPhone or from Windows Mobile to an iPhone, tell me why you switched. Or those of you that have stuck with a BlackBerry or actually on Windows Mobile, I'd love to kind of pick your brain, because I've never really used Windows Mobile at all. You know, the phones I've had in the past before my iPhone were basically, you know, cell phones that had, you know, just the, you know, whatever the company provided on it. It wasn't running on the Windows Mobile platform. So, yeah, maybe we'll get a little bit of a feedback. And by the way, this came from CNET, and CNET has completely revamped their website this weekend. So, if you get over to CNET.com, you'll be able to see these new their new layout. So it must be the time for people to do updates. Over on the Consumerist, and we've actually, I think this article, almost a semblance of one that I have on Geek News Central as well. But it appears that Vonage customers are continuing to have the problem of, you're still a customer 2 years after you canceled your service. So how many of you have had... I know we've got at least one listener out there that continues to get their credit card charged, even though they've canceled the service, you know, a dozen times or so forth. But it appears that one individual had the Vonage service for about 4 years, and when he canceled, the company continued to charge his credit card for 2 years until the American Express car that it was hooked to, actually, the date actually expired on the credit card. And they've come after this guy for $250 by a collection agency, yet the guy had been canceled for 2 years. Go, you know, this is just an ongoing thing with Vonage. And is anybody else out there having problems getting canceled with them? Are you running into this issue? I know we've had at least one listener from this show that have had very similar experiences. So love to hear from any Vonage customers out there that are having any problems at all. Hey, there's a great article. It's entitled, Internet Traffic Begins to Bypass the United States. You know, for many, many years, the United States really was the center of the universe when it came to the Internet. No matter where you were at in the world, when you wanted to go, even if you wanted to go, for example, from you know, whatever country you were in to another website within your country, many times that Internet packet went all the way to the United States and it got rerouted back to the machine that you were on. That you were looking for within the country. Now, that has changed, obviously, over time, but what we're starting to see now is that because of really concerns of governments and other individuals wanting to really not allow traffic to come through the United States is now being bypassed when it comes to data flow. So, you know, the balance of power is shifting. Data is increasingly flowing around the United States, which, you know, worries people, obviously, in the government that have, you know, had access to this type of, you know, the basically the data for years. So with this shift now, you know, I think what's driving this, too, is what did we see earlier in the year? You know, a cable got cut and a fiber optic cable got cut, and then people were completely offline for several weeks because of the way the routing was set up and where people were flowing through. So this is a big change. It's a great article talking about, you know, the shift in Asia and the shift in Europe as well. So while this could actually benefit those of us in the United States, because we're not going to have to be dealing with that overhead of that traffic coming through switches the United States, it also means that the Internet is finally really has matured to the point where it doesn't matter where you're at in the world, the United States is no longer the center of the universe when it comes to the Internet. And I think that's a good thing in the long run. I really do. And what it really wind up being is it'll allow you know, more routes to be formed and peering arrangements being made, because if, you know, if something goes down here, we're going to want to reroute somewhere, you know. If you know, if a big hub goes through, then we want to be able to be rerouted. And the more routing, the more points of presence there are to reroute traffic, will assure that the Internet will stay up online if something catastrophic happens. Over at iPhoneExe.com/apps is a pretty cool website. And this is a new one to me. I was not familiar with this. But over iPhoneExe.com is a list of apps that you can buy, that you can get if you're looking for jailbroken apps. Lots of pretty cool stuff here. Now, I have not been to the Apple App Store. So I'm assuming here that many of these titles are for iPhones that have been jailbroke. Some of them are free. Some of them are charged. Again, they have a list of jailbroke applications as well that are free. So pretty cool little website here. And, you know, if you guys find more websites like this that list iPhone apps, definitely email me those links, because anything that you find outside of the iPhone App Store is obviously a good thing, because, you know, some of these apps may not be approved to be in the store, but are available online. Well, we had talked a little bit when I was out in the Hilton in Vegas here last month at New Media Expo. We had talked about the Star Trek Experience closing down. Well, today was the last day. Star Trek The Experience is going bye-bye. The person that ran the event could not come to an agreement with the Hilton, so they're pulling the plug on it. And no longer will the experience, a Star Trek The Experience, be there. So I don't know what's going to happen, because it's kind of, when you're in that section of the Hilton, all of the game, even all the gambling machines, are kind of got this Star Trek theme. So I bet you that the Hilton is going to be shuttering all of that and basically probably stripping it all out and then rebuilding it and putting some new type of venue in. So we'll have to see what happens with this and see how fast they make it happen. But it's always kind of been this off-the-floor area that has really not been on the main casino floor. It's been off to the side. So, you know, Trekkies are probably not real happy that this is being shut down, but the exhibit has, how many people? They said 3 million people have come through the experience since it opened in 1998. But I will admit, some of the stuff is looking pretty dated. So I can't blame the Hilton for wanting to, you know, maybe kind of move on. But Star Trek fans probably will be disappointed this is gone. All right, there's a good article over at calnewport.com. And this is not really a tech article per se, but this is, you know, since we've got college kids are back in school, and maybe you've got a student that is maybe a freshman this year, like I have a freshman in college this year, the secret art of stealth studying. And along with that are some studying tips. This is pretty good stuff. So if you're looking to give some study tips to your prospective, well, actually, whoever's in college right now, or even if you've got a high school student, or maybe you're going back to your school yourself, this would be a good thing to check out. So it's The Art of Stealth Studying, How to Earn a 4.0 with Only 1 hour of Work. Well, I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with an hour of work and studying and passing all the tests in your college class, but this is pretty good. It gives some good tips, and I've used a few of these myself from time to time. All right, over at Hongkiat, it's HongKiat.com. This is a new site that I'm not really familiar with. It's a nice design. It almost looks like one of the blogging properties, but I don't think it is. But they've got a article up, 100 nice and beautiful blog designs. And, you know, I like to share these with you guys because I know from time to time I'm always looking for new ideas for website designs. And some of these are really nice. They really, really are. So I'll have the link up to this in the show notes. If you're looking for some new design ideas, the best thing to do is, you know, without copying the site, you know, it gives you an ideas of, you know, what you can tell your developer you want and give them a kind of an example to work from. And these are all real nice templates. So I have these linked up in the show notes. All right, this is a pretty heavy article here, and it's at arxivblog.com, the physics blog, and they're talking about this new orbiting observatory. They believe that they may have found dark matter. Now, the team is currently lip-sealed because they're getting ready to publish in a major article, but the world of cosmology is currently abuzz with rumors that the orbiting observatory called PAMELA has discovered dark matter. Now, last month, the team gave some scientists a sneak peek of the results at a conference in Stockholm, and since that point, they've just been mum. They have been working real, real hard on the release papers. So this is pretty exciting stuff here, and you know, this has been a big mystery for those that are you know, studying space, and they may have found dark matter. So we'll see if once they write this up, what they think their conclusions are. Definitely be a good read when it's available. All right, over on Engadget, you know, I have to share a little secret with you. Back when I first bought a computer, this was my first machine that I really could call my own that had any sort of quote-unquote processing power. Now, back in the day, I had an old Trash 80. That's date myself. But then I went a number of years without a computer, and the first computer I ever bought was a Commodore Colt. It was a Intel chipset, I believe, at the time. It had it was a 8088 or 8086, something like that. I remember buying a hard drive for it, spending huge dollars for a 64 meg RLL hard drive, I believe was the actual designation to it. That was one of the early, and I was king of the hill at that Commodore Colt. I think I had memory extender cards in it that were, they were about as long as the case was, and it were just chip after chip after chip to get a little more memory out of it. I think I could get it up to 256K or something like that. So still thought I was pretty king of the hill, but you know, you don't hear too much about Commodore, but Commodore today has released a ultra mobile media device. It's called the 8010F, and it's one of these mini notebooks, and it's going to be it's a 10-inch screen running on a 1.6 gig via C7TAC-M processor with an 80 gig hard drive, 1 gig of RAM, built-in Wi-Fi, and optional Bluetooth. It's going to be about $600. But one thing I'll say about Commodore, when I saw this picture of this thing, it really is no frills. It's no more frills than the old Commodores from olden days. And I guess they're trying to reinvent themselves. And I'll be honest with you, I'll be very, very honest. I didn't even know they were still in business. Did someone just buy their name and start publish or putting computers together again? Because I didn't even think they were in business anymore. But Commodore brand is back alive with a ultra mobile. So if you're looking for to revisit older days, for those of you that may have had a older version Commodore, now's your chance. You can get one again. No. I think that computer is at my mom's house. Stashed in a closet someplace. So, okay, I'll keep it moving on here. Hey, over on Boston.com, of all places, they have some great pictures. It's an article that came out today, and it's entitled Preparing to Rescue Hubble. And, of course, we know that we're going to have the SDS-125 mission is going to launch, I believe, October 8th. To go out to the Hubble and do a repair mission, and they've got some great pictures. And the one that really blows me away, that I'm going to just, y'all have to see this. Just, this is definitely the article of the night. Scroll down and look at article number 2. And tell me what movie this reminds you of, because what you've got is a guy sitting on a machine that is latched onto one of the shuttle's motors, and you see guys just standing in the bay that the motor's getting put into. But tell me what movie this guy in this machine that he's strapped to reminds you of. And the person that figures it out, what I'm kind of referring to, what I'm getting here to, will get a T-shirt. So you'll see this, and any of you that have seen the movie, I know you've seen the movie, and you should be able to figure this out really, really quick, especially you techno guys out there. You see this, you're going to go, oh, that kind of looks like, and then send me an email on what it is. But picture number 2 in the article that is from Boston.com, and it's basically the Hubble rescue mission. Some of these other pictures I've kind of seen before, but some I have not. Anyway, amazing pictures, and well worthy the 1 or 2 minutes it'll take to go through these. So send me an email. First person that does will score themselves a T-shirt. Over on Gizmodo, I've spent so many hours on an airplane. I just, you get them off and you don't want to even be on them anymore. How would you like to check into a hotel that was a 747? An actual 747 that's a hotel. Well, now you can. The next time you go to Sweden, you can check into the Jumbo Hostel. And this is in which airport? It's in an airport north of Stockholm. Let's see if I can actually find the actual hotel, airport name. It doesn't show it on here. Oh, at the Arlanda Airport in Sweden. If you go there, you can stay at the Jumbo Hostel. It's a 747. It's got, about 30 rooms inside. It's been converted. It's right at the entrance of the airport, so you won't have to worry about missing your flight. But I don't know about you. I don't want to be. There's just no way. I have no desire to go stay at a hotel that isn't actually a 747. But apparently the 747 was owned by some company that couldn't keep up with the cost of operating it and has been abandoned at this airport for a number of years. And I guess not necessarily in bad shape, but this guy's bought it and converted it into a hotel. So pretty original. And would you guys go stay there? I don't think I would, but if you would, drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, big news. Big news out of Google. Google's going to be releasing a browser today. I expect to see some articles start popping up here in a few hours. And of course, I'm here in Hawaiian Standard Time, GMT minus 10, and I'm expecting to see the actual release come after midnight, probably Pacific time. So Google on their, basically Google has announced on their blog, have acknowledged the existence of what's called the Google Chrome. It's a browser that the company is going to be releasing, and it's completely been built from the ground up. It's based on the WebKit and will include Google Gears. It has a browser extension framework that will allow it to make Adobe Air type hybrid apps. It includes JavaScript virtual machine called V8 that was deployed by a team in Denmark. Has tabs, auto-completion, and a dashboard-type start page that can help you get going to web services you need. It's kind of similar to what the dashboard looks like on Opera. It has a privacy mode that allows you to use the machine without logging anything on the local machine. It's similar to a feature called Incognito in the latest version of Microsoft IE, and it's got malware and phishing protection built into the browser. So, wow. Firefox and IE looks like they're going to have a little competition. And Google has rolled their own, so pretty cool. Pretty cool on that. Hey, lots and lots and lots of feedback. Moving on here, lots of feedback on the situation with Comcast. And I got some very interesting comments on the blog post I put about their 250 gig bandwidth cap. I wrote a post basically saying boycott Comcast. And I got a lot of people that, I hate to say it, for a better word, were quite incredulous that I would think that 250 gigs is not reasonable. And said most people say, well, I'll never use that much. Well, I want everyone to think about some devices you may have on your computer. And if you are a Comcast user and you have one of these five devices, it could spell trouble for your Comcast bandwidth cap. If you have a Sling box and you use it a lot while you're traveling or even at the office, that could rack up some serious bandwidth. The Xbox 360, you know, downloads HD, features HD downloads straight into the living room. And your good old TiVo. Yep, the typical TiVo unbox movie is about 2 to 3 gigs. And then there are podcasts and so forth that you could be downloading. You could be listening to Rhapsody through your TiVo as well. 5 hours of music per day will eat up about 9 gigs per month. The Netflix Roku, which is an amazing box. The box streams Netflix movies straight to your TV at about 2.2 megabits per second. So that could suck up some bandwidth. You know, if you watched a single movie every day with your Roku, you could be using 40 gig a month just there alone, and that's on non-iDef videos. Now, if you've got a Vudu box like I do, well, here's the deal. And here's something a lot of people don't know. And matter of fact, this is one of the reasons why I don't have my wireless router all the time hooked up to it, is that the Vudu set-top box uses peer-to-peer distribution to deliver content. So while I may be downloading a movie, it may be using my neighbor's or someone, you know, in the other part of the country's bandwidth to get that movie downloaded because it's using peer-to-peer. At the same time, when I'm not watching movies and it's just turned on and running, if I have it connected to the internet, guess what it's doing? My bandwidth is being used to help them distribute movies to other people. So if you have you know, some movies that are being shared on peer-to-peer, you could, you know, that could suck up 60 gigs of traffic a month. So, you know, these are just some devices that could really smell trouble for a lot of bandwidth. Now, one of the listeners of the show, and actually he had probably getting the email later, had said, hey, Todd, just make your show a smaller bitrate. Well, I'm not worried about this show, okay? If you guys unsubscribe because you're worried about your bandwidth caps, it is what it is. You know, with I think my show is 30 megs. It's, you know, that's really nothing in the scheme of things. But if you're subscribed to 100 podcasts that are 30 megs each, you know, it could use some bandwidth or even video. But, you know, there's really some points here that we all have to realize. You know, how did we get here? Now, Comcast is saying, hey, we've always had the 250 gig cap. Now we're just saying we have it. That's what they're quote unquote saying. But I don't believe it. I really don't. I don't believe that they've actively enforced it. Although they continue to say that the average customer uses only a couple of gigs a month, I think that's nuts too. Now, if you remember, Time Warner really got this thing going back in June when it announced its trial in Texas, limiting folks from 5 gigs to 40 gigs per month. Now, you want to talk about being mad? I'm on Time Warner here in Hawaii. It's my only choice. Well, I can get I've got a Clearwire modem here, but that's 1.5 meg down, 300 up. It sucks. It's not very quick. Not when you got 4 family members using the internet. So if Time Warner invokes this 40 gig per month here, oh, it's not going to be good. So, you know, they're doing their tier test, and other telcos have threatened caps. You got Frontier out in New York who have, you know, they're only giving their users 5 gigs. Their regular customers, their non-business ones, are getting 5 gig limit. And then, of course, the Comcast with their 250 gigs. And they're all saying this is in the name of network management, but you really, there's a conflict of interest going on here. You know, if you're using a voice IP by a different service, you know, what happens when your voice IP is impacted because they say you go over your limit? I don't know. I don't agree because, you know, we've talked about it enough. But I hope you're all up there screaming and hollering at Comcast. And the rest of us need to be worried, too, because it's coming. It's coming for all of us, and I don't know if there's anything we can do about it, but they're tired of giving us unlimited bandwidth here in the United States. I know those of you that are overseas, you know, you're in a different situation. You've been on bandwidth caps since the beginning. Well, we haven't, so it's pretty hard for them to take away. Now, I'm pushing this video tonight, and how much is it? How much bandwidth am I using to push? Well, I'm pushing at 300K, 300 kilobits per second. I'm going to do an hour and 15 minutes. You guys do the math on how much bandwidth I'm going to use pushing this video out. You know, those live stream, it's quite a bit. Okay. Let me move. I need to actually change something here. And let me go ahead and I apologize for the little delay, but I should have noticed this earlier and I did not engage it. Okay, those of you that are on Ustream, I updated the marker, I apologize, or the overlay. All right, the RIAA has won a $40,850 peer-to-peer judgment. Really, what this boils down to is a gentleman shared 3 files, Waiting for a Girl Like You, Money for Nothing, and Sweet Child of Mine on a peer-to-peer network. And he fought the RIAA. And they whacked him for $40,850. This guy doesn't have the money, so I'm sure he'll have his wages garnished for until the end of time. And he's incurring a 2.1.2% interest on the unpaid balance. So the judge also ordered him to stop infringing copyrights, including without limitation by using internet or any other online media distribution system. He has to remove that particular music tracks off his computers. So, you know, he can have a CD copy, but he can't have a digital copy of those songs $40,850. Something's wrong with that, really. All right, the New York Times has got, actually, and I found this just before I got ready to start tonight. You know, I talked about that, me going to the to Governor Sarah Palin's Wikipedia and looking at the history on it when it was rumored she was Senator McCain's VP pick. The New York Times has run a actual article on the person that was in there updating her Wikipedia entry the 24 hours or so before she was announced as the actual pick. So, you know, that, you know, we all should have been, if we would have all been smart, we could have scooped the entire, you know, we could have scooped the entire news service by watching really his short list of candidates. And she was, had originally been a real long shot on the list. But just goes to prove that there are underlying ways to tell when something is about to happen. And the Wikipedia entry was a good way to detect that. All right, Doc Searles has got a great article. It's a flight hacker's guide. And it talks about what you can do and what the tools you can use when you're getting ready to book a flight, whenever you're on a flight that's gotten delayed, or you're on a flight that has been, or you're supposed to get on a flight that gets canceled. So he's got some real good websites here. One that I'm adding to my, basically my bookmarks in my iPhone is FlightAware. And you can find that at FlightAware.com. It's not the best UI, but it's a very handy resource. And it basically told him not only was his plane delayed, but why and how much of a delay it was. And it was allow him to get a head start on rebooking a connection. Of course, we've talked about Seat Guru before. Also, there's a website, SeatExpert.com. And, of course, if you want to watch the weather, and I've been doing that a lot too, but haven't watched it via AviationWeather.gov. I always go to weather.com. But aviationweather.gov will give you a good link to basically what, you know, aviation affected weather. Now, hey, if you want to find out space weather, you can do that as well. There's a link to that at that website as well. But don't think any of us have to worry about that. All right. NASA's requesting, actually, NASA Administrator Mike Griffin has directed agency staff to study what would be needed to extend the life of the space shuttle to as late as 2015. So looks to me, folks, like they're making some considerations here to extend the shuttle's life, which is good. I think we're going to need the shuttle's, you know, lift capacity up until the time when we have the new Ares online. So time will tell. I think we already talked about Opportunity. We're going to be climbing out of the crater. So I guess that's going to start here in the next few days. So we'll keep you advised on that. Hey, those of you that listen to the show there in Hawaii, and I don't know if this show is streamed or not, but this coming Wednesday, September 3rd, I and three other people, actually Ryan Ozawa, who is a podcaster here in Hawaii, Roxanne Darling from Beach Walks with Rocks, and I, we're all going to be on NPR here locally in a show called Bite Marks Cafe. It's going to be on KIPO 89.3 FM. It's going to happen between 5 and 6 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. So from 5 to 6, if you're here in Hawaii, tune in to KIPO 89.3 and catch Rox, myself, Ryan, and, of course, the host, Bert, as we talk about podcasting, PodCamp Hawaii, and a bunch of other things going on in the new media space here in Hawaii. So again, KIPO 89.3. Don't know if they've got this streamed or not, but I'll try to get it recorded while I'm there, and then I'll have the link, share up the link to that. Or if he has it recorded and up online, I'll share the link to that. A little bit of environmental news. Arctic ice is melting away due to impact of global warming, question mark. Apparently, a report released by the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado, has revealed that Arctic ice is at its second lowest level in history, and is at least recorded history, and is melting because of the impact of global warming, question mark, I guess. The National Snow and Ice Data Center put out the report last week, confirming that the Arctic sea ice is at its second lowest point. The most recent lowest point was in 2007, so 2 years running here, it's less remaining ice here throughout the summer. So I guess the level of Arctic sea ice in 2008 is at 2.03 million square miles compared to 1.59 million square miles in 2007. I guess it's at its second lowest point. So in other words, last year it was at a much lower point. So, okay, anyway, just a little info for you there in case you weren't familiar with that. Hey, one thing that caught my attention here was a article at the New York Times talking about till tampering software. Now, that would be cash register tampering. Apparently, for mom-and-pop shops, cooking the books is becoming a high-tech business. There's some software programs, and I wasn't even familiar with this before. I was amazed by this article. There are some software applications out there called Zapper. Zappers are software applications that will go into a computerized cash register and siphon away sales so it can't be detected by the IRS during an audit. So this is pretty amazing. Zappers have also been used for automated sales. Zappers are known as automated sales suppression devices and are a new twist on an old fraud. But this is becoming a challenge for auditors when they go in and look at business receipts and so forth. They're finding from time to time when they go in actually into a business and do an audit, they're actually finding these software applications. So, and people are getting busted with them. But I was kind of surprised. And it really, if you think about it, probably makes sense. Probably big demand for it by companies that do a lot of cash business in order to cook the books. You know, it used to be when it was people wrote on a little piece of pad and wrote the order down. You know, it's probably real easy for business people to cook the books. But with everything computerized now, it makes sense that there's software out there that zap, per se, entries in the computerized chain to get rid of it. So that's pretty enlightening to me. I wasn't aware that was happening out there, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. All right, the International Space Station, for the first time ever, has had to change orbit to avoid some Russian space junk. Crew members aboard the International Space Station had to take the unusual step this week of firing booster rockets to lower the station's orbit. Apparently, the International Space Station was almost in its very highest orbit area, and they actually used the European Space Agency's automated transfer vehicle, firing its engines for about 5 minutes to lower the orbit of the International Space Station. I guess there was like a 1 in 72 chance that this space junk was going to possibly impact the International Space Station. So they lowered the orbit to reduce the risk. I thought that was pretty cool. I really did. Okay, let me go ahead and there's a good article over on Tech Dirt talking about the NBC's, for better words, fiasco when it came to the Olympics and their online video coverage. NBC received around 72 million video streams during the Olympic season. And while they're talking about great success, and of course it is a great success as compared to previous years, there is a huge difference in that YouTube streamed 4.2 billion videos, 60 times as many as in the month of May, as compared to 72 million video streams that they did during the Olympics. Now, if you look at the population of the United States with 300 million people, and they only got a total of 72 million streams, that means there was only one stream for every four Americans. Wow. Wow. I guess it didn't work out so well. And, you know, part of it was all the time delay that they had built into all that stuff. I'm sure that turned people off. Okay, moving on. There's a rumor that tethering may return to the iPhone soon. Apparently, Steve Jobs has sent off a memo to AT&T asking them to, you know, basically allow people to tether their iPhones. But he goes on to ask them to develop a plan, in other words, how much it's going to cost you to tether your iPhone to your computer. I just can't believe that they don't allow it outright. I'm sure it'll be expensive. I'm sure it'll be like another $30 to tether your phone. Okay, pretty good article over on iCringly talking about him and his wife experience with iPhone. I'm not going to get into that. And then I've got, excuse me, a good article by Tom Newman. He's a long listener of the show, talking about Comcast. I'll have that linked up in the show notes as well. All right, well, we're wrapped up on regular content here tonight. And I've got some voicemails to get into and some emails as well. So let me go ahead and get right into the voicemails. Those of you in our new stream will not be able to hear these. So I apologize about that. And yeah, I got a GT. Got to see someone about that cough. Yes, I am scheduled. Hopefully I get in Wednesday morning. That's the plan, to get in Wednesday morning, see the doc, find out what's going on. I think, you know what I think I have? I think I've got walking pneumonia. That's what I think I've got. So we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised otherwise. So let's go ahead and play the first voicemail here. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail.
Hey, Todd. It's me, Jose Alvarez, from the great Golden State of California. I just wanted to start with the issue of the Comcast problem thing. Well, you know, I use the SBC, Yahoo, and TNT as my broadband internet provider for my internet. We have the right to inform ourselves, you know, and we have the right to freedom to do whatever we want when we surf the internet, you know, legally speaking, you know. To limit uses on the broadband internet uses is some form of control. I get the news through the TV station's websites and I watch the broadcast that they put on the website. My household has three laptops, my desktop, and a couple of video systems that connect to the internet, you know, to play games and everything. All of this takes a lot of bandwidth, you know. To me, it sounds that the companies like Comcast want to, like, control their customers by limiting their wider freedom. If Comcast wants to control the internet usage to those who are downloading illegal movies and audio by sniffing one, they won't be able to stop them all. There's always going to be ways around that, like making the copies of a friend's CD or TV collections, or buying, like, you know, pirate CDs or movies, DVDs on the street or even on the flea market. Oh, by the way, I would like to, I think I need to correct you about the Nikon having being the first one to have the live view. If I remember correctly, I think it was Canon that was the first one to have this feature on
really?
The cameras. And, you know, the next point would be the USA government, you know, being the government, should have their computer systems more secure if they don't want any hackers breaking through the systems. Talking about control, the government should have total control over the systems. But whatever, you know. I love your show, Todd. Keep up the work.
Hey, thanks for calling, and slow down on the voicemail comments. I had a real hard time following you. But, you know, so far as the bandwidth goes, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, if there's people out there that are abusing bandwidth by downloading, you know, continuing to be on peer-to-peer services and downloading copyrighted material as well, you know, I don't know. Have they spoiled it for all of us, or are people just using a lot more bandwidth? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, because they're going to start shutting people down. And so far as the Nikon goes, and you think that the Canon SLR had already had the live view, I wasn't aware of that. And But thanks for pointing that out, and thanks for calling. Definitely appreciate it. And hey, please call back again, and drop us any comments in the future. It's greatly appreciated. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Sorry. Hey, Todd. Mike James here.
Hey,
I just wanted to call on the a couple issues. First of all, the private investigator's license for the RIAA. The real key there is that it gives accountability. If you have to have a private investigator's license, of course there'll be standards to get the license, but then the person who's doing the investigation has accountability, because he could have the license revoked.
That's
if
true.
He does something improper. If you don't require a private investigator's license, then just any Joe Schmo can do it, and what are you going to do to him if he does something wrong, right? The other issue is with the tactile feel, or I don't know if it's haptics or whatever you want to call it, on PDF displays or displays like the Kindle. nothing has ever come close to the usefulness or the ease of use of regular paper.
True.
And I think that's where the real problem comes in, is that you just, there's nothing that has the same user functionality. It just doesn't feel right. You can't skip around pages. And I really don't know what the solution is to that, because really, if it's not on a piece of paper, it's not going to work. I mean, maybe if we got a book with like 50 sheets of paper and we could flip through it and just each page could change. Well, I don't know. Love the show.
Hey, thanks for calling. You know what? You'll never, if there's tech manuals or anything like that where you have to cross-reference other pages, no, you'll never replace paper. Unless you have like three big flat screens to your advantage, where you can see these things and flip back and forth and roll, and especially reading a schematic. I can't even imagine having, if you're looking for one wire or something in a schematic, that's one thing. But if you're trying to troubleshoot across systems or through terminal boards and stuff, especially on aircraft aviation systems, I just can't see how you could ever go to a PDF format with a Kindle. It just doesn't make sense. In school books, the same way. How do you mark up your school book if you're trying to study? And then, I don't know, maybe they'll have a way to extract that data. I don't know. But it's definitely one of those things I don't think we'll ever replace. But thanks for your comments. Definitely appreciate it. And I know those of you that are in Ustream kind of heard half of that conversation. I apologize. Got to get this wired up so you guys can hear it. But I'm having issues trying to do that currently because I don't know how to get it so it doesn't loop back. What I need is a little toggle switch here to cut it off after it's done. And I just got to get something wired up to make that happen. All right, let me go ahead and get into the email. And I had a lot of stuff that just came in from people on the Comcast stuff, so I'm going to skip some of that. Hey, I want to thank Lance. He says, hey, Todd, you nailed it with the Wikipedia clue. Congratulations. This race is going to come down the wire. Cheers, Lance. That was basically, I had Twittered about the Wikipedia entry being updated 24 hours prior to McCain announcing who the candidate was. So I don't know if I figured that out first. It would be kind of cool to have been actually the one to figure that out, but I'm obviously the New York Times picked up on it, so someone else noticed. Hey, got an email from Greg. Oh, this reminds me. Okay, here's the story. Will not be going to Austin next week. Okay, but I will be going to Austin sometime in October. Okay, so for now, I will not be in Austin next week. That's been put on hold. So I apologize. I thought I was going to be actually going down next week. Actually, I was in the process of getting some airline tickets booked when I got the email saying that the meeting had been canceled. So I apologize about that. But Greg, thank you for all your info that you sent me. And it'll definitely be bookmarked here so that when I do come down, a lot of audience members in Austin. Should be a great party when we go down. So I got something from Greg. Got something from Frank. Frank actually sent some more data on Comcast. Thanks for that. Got an email from Paul on possible meetup in Austin. He said, I recommend Guajiro's maybe on South Congress Street within walking of downtown. That was one of many suggestions. Got an email from Jay. He says, hey, I've been listening for a long time, and I'm from Texas. For your next trip to Austin, Texas, you should come eat lunch at Ventana, a restaurant at the Texas Culinary Academy. It's a working classroom/restaurant, but the service and food are the best in the 3-star category. I'm actually a culinary student right now and will be in the kitchen during lunch when you come back, but it would be a pleasure to cook for you. Looking forward to meet you, Jay. Hey, Jay, I will definitely be telling you when I'm coming, all right? And I actually Googled the Texas Culinary Academy, and I'd love to come in and have lunch. And, hey, if you want to cook, rock on, all right? I got an email from, I apologize if I pronounced the name wrong. I believe it's Rian. He said, hey there, Todd. Thanks for a great show. Always looking forward to the new one. So cool that you can do what you love and make a living out of it. Keep it up. Just one question. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned something that you use with iTunes to sort your music and get rid of duplicates. But over the life of me, I can't just find the show where you mentioned it. If off by heart, can you remember? Please let me know. My music is in a mess. Just had to look at everything on my PC and don't even know where to start. Thanks so much, Rian in Cape Town. Hey, I believe, oh boy, if you go to the special media section in the website, I think it's called something Tune Up, Music Tune Up or something to that effect. If you go to the special media section, just search Tune Up in that area, and I think you'll find it. There's a video in the special media section. It would have been one of the first couple of days of the Consumer Electronics Show, so it would be very early on in the coverage. It'll actually also be in the January, if you go back to January archives at Geek News Central, and actually look at day one or day two video coverage that Annie McCaskey and I do. It was our pick of the day, I believe, for CES. So that's where you'll be able to find that. And I apologize, I can't remember what the name of it is. It may be iTunes Tune Up or something to that effect. But if you just search Tune Up on the website, you'll find it. Okay, folks. Hey, I'm out of content here. And I guess we'll wrap it up. Thanks for hanging out. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Of course, I'll be back with you Friday for those of you that are downloading the podcast. For those of you that are on Ustream, I'll be back Thursday night to do the show. And I'll be here in Honolulu for a couple weeks at least. I don't think I'm going anywhere. And it'll be nice to stay close to home. The weather here is just absolutely beautiful right now. I mean, wow, I just couldn't ask for any better weather. And and while I didn't mention it, for those of you that have been displaced because of the storm, pray that you guys' properties have come through. Looks like that the storm, while it was very, very strong and deadly, was not as bad as it could have been. It was still pretty horrible. I have been through typhoons, which are, you know, the equivalent of a hurricane, and went through a Cat 5 super typhoon with a peak sustained winds at 215 miles per hour. It was horrible, and it was really a storm where I ended up not having power for 37 days. It was bad. So I've been down that road, and I understand what everyone's going through. You know, we used to have when I was in the Navy, and I wasn't living out in town, when I was still staying in the barracks in my very junior years of being in the service, we used to have typhoon parties. And I mean, we would literally buy as much ice, beer, and alcohol that we could essentially put on our paychecks and come back and have this big rip-roaring party for a couple of days. And, you know, little did we, you know, we didn't have nothing to worry about. The buildings we were in were concrete, and the windows were shatterproof. Basically, they could take a direct hit by a coconut by, I don't know, they were rated a certain amount of speed. And, you know, the power usually stayed on because the power cables were buried, and we had auxiliary power from base. So we never really suffered. But when I moved out in town and got to experience my first storm, and, you know, had 6 inches of water running through my house, and water coming through windows that were closed, like I was, you know, pouring a bucket of water outside and it was running through. It was quite sobering. It really, really was. And even though I never had sustained flooding because the water just passed through and went on to the end of the beach, the storm surge and everything else we had to deal with. But I was luckily on the wrong side of the other side of the island where I didn't get the storm surge, at least. And we had a reef that semi-protected us as well. But, man, the storm's going to be bad. And for those of you that are out of pocket right now or basically with family or in shelters and stuff, my heart goes out to you. And hopefully you go home to with very minimal or no property damage. And anyway, let us know. Let me know how it turned out, those of you that are down in that area. And send us an email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or if you can, call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And those of you that are listening to the show, hey, great time to give a donation to the American Red Cross or a charity of your choosing. You know, they can always use cash. Those hard dollars always helps those in need. And yesterday I had ponied up to the bar and sent in our annual donation to the American Red Cross. So I hope the rest of you will do as well. But until next time, you guys take care. Have a great week. Be safe out there. Take care and aloha.